Hugh opens up about play calling and gives a very relatable answer.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it this Tuesday and just dive into this Monday press conference. It was the media day for Hugh. He does his two media appearances, the 11 o'clock press conference and then Tiger Talk. Said some interesting things, and I think one of them inadvertently is very relatable to Auburn fans, because it feels the same way when we're watching the play calling. But we'll dive into that in a little bit more detail. But before we get started, got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $200. They're going to give you $200 more back on top of it to play with. So risk-free money there to get in that sports book, betting lines for anything you can imagine. Still got, I think you got World Series, you got college football, NFL, all kind of stuff. And it won't be long, you'll have basketball coming around the corner, right around the corner. So get in, get your account ready, get that double up deposit bonus. It's mybookie.ag. Hugh was asked a very interesting question. He was asked about the balance of being a head coach and the play calling, and just overall the play calling in general. And he gave a very long answer, and he talked, I mean, as Hugh does, he pulls the curtain back and lets you know everything that's going on. But the way he described play calling was something that was intriguing, relatable, and concerning all at the same time. When he talked about the play calling duties and what it's like to call a game right now, he said it's 4 hours of stress. 4 hours of stress, which I assume he's just talking about the length of a football game. From a human standpoint, I appreciate the honesty. From a fan standpoint, it kind of, watching it feels like 4 hours of stress. And this is a sort of a new development, I feel like. This is something that we've just started to see over the last two games, to where we're calling a lot more plays. I feel like you could probably debunk this, but it feels this way. We're calling plays a lot later in the play clock. You're not running a ton of tempo. You're really trying to limit possessions, it feels like. You're really trying to just hold the ball, going into a huddle a lot more. I know we've huddled it multiple times throughout the season, but it seems the last two games, it does seem stressful. It seems like you're trying so hard to call the right play every single play. And I know you're saying, well, you should always call the right play, but it's different. It's different. Play callers, it's more reacting than it is literally trying to call the perfect play. It's like, okay, we got this, we're going to give them this, we got this, we're going to give them this. It's not like, okay, here we go. It's first and 10. We need to get 3 yards. Let's, 3 or 4 yards. Like we're really overanalyzing every situation. And honestly, you can feel it. And I don't really know exactly why. I mean, I guess I do know why we pivoted, or why Hugh pivoted from just slinging it to doing what he's doing. But I think it's to the detriment of this team. I think it's to the detriment of the product that you're going to see on the field. He mentioned later in the press conference that, 5 years ago, or I don't know, he probably shouldn't have said five. I mean, he probably should have said just a couple of years ago. After a turnover, he would have taken a shot. We get the ball back. We're going to take a shot. But I don't feel as confident with this. I don't feel as confident doing that right now. So I'm thinking, if I take a shot and we don't get it, now we're second and 10. I should have given the ball to Jarquez. You know, maybe we should have given it to 27. You start second guessing yourself. And like when that happens, you are in a bind. When you're starting to second guess and you're starting to already think about, if I call this play, what happens on the next two or three plays? I feel like that completely erases any advantage that you have being Hugh Freeze, being the play caller that you are. I mean, this is one thing that's a little bit concerning. And you know, I'm for the most part pretty positive, and people get mad at me like I'm the one that's causing this sometimes. But one thing that I've always said is you have to look back at the past to see if there's a track record of this. And there's just not. Maybe you could point to some turnovers. Hugh's gotten a ton out of quarterbacks that are a lot less gifted than Peyton Thorne. Okay. He's gotten a ton out of quarterbacks like Ryan Applin, like Bo Wallace, like these guys that don't have nearly the physical gifts that, you know, a Peyton Thorne has. He's been able to get a lot out of them. And they've turned it over some as well. But the thing is, you've seen the success, and then all of a sudden, that's what gives you the confidence that you can get it back. But when you're now not the same person, that's what's concerning. When you say, I would have done that 5 years ago. Well, 5 years ago, that's the Hugh Freeze we're looking for. You know, that's the Hugh Freeze we want. That's the Hugh Freeze that can take an offense to the next level. That's the Hugh Freeze that's one of the best play callers in the country. Now, does that mean it's something that's malignant that'll never change? Could it just be that it's this team this season? Maybe so. But that's what's got it. That's, to me, I would rather go down playing games like Oklahoma. I would rather go down, honestly, playing games like Arkansas. I would rather go down playing games like even Cal, where you're not afraid. You're just not quite good enough yet. You're not afraid. You're running your offense. You're making plays, but you're just not quite good enough yet. And you just, you know, turnovers or whatever it is that shoots you in the foot that makes you not be able to get across the line. I would much rather see that, because that to me is what will eventually yield success. When I was saying things like, you know, I felt like Auburn was close on offense, that was why, because the explosion was there. The numbers were there from a yardage perspective, that they were there. But when you go into a mode that you've gone over the Georgia game and the Missouri game to where now it's, I'm being way more self-conscious over every single play, that's when you've completely deviated from the path that of success that's got you where you need to be. And I would say, you know, this is probably the first real adversity that maybe Hugh's ever faced. If you really go back and look at his career, he's, you know, took over Arkansas State, immediate success. 4 wins the year before, I think 10 plus wins the year after. You go to Ole Miss, they won 1 or 2 conference games in 2 years, maybe just 1 conference game in 2 years prior. He comes in, immediately has a winning season, and then steadily builds all the way up to where right before everything sort of the bottom fell out, you're winning 10 games and you're a fluke play away. You know, you're the Arkansas throwback fumble away from taking Ole Miss to its very, very first SEC West title. People forget that, forget about that, you know, they've never been there. So, and he took Ole Miss to some of the heights that they've never seen before. Now you're in year 2. The game's a little different. You got portal and you got, you know, NIL and all this stuff. It's a little bit different. But you're in year 2 and you seem to be, from a record standpoint, going backwards. And that is not something that Hugh has ever faced. So there's a lot of character that's going to be revealed, a lot of toughness that's going to be revealed over the next several weeks on, can you get your mojo back? Can you get back to the fearless, the guy, lock the doors and let's get in a fight and let's see what happens against anybody. That's a quote from one of his famous, you know, pregame speeches. Can you get back to that guy? And I would say that's where you need to be for the rest of the year, no matter what the results are. Get out there, balls to the wall, rip it up and down the field. Don't be afraid of turning up. Don't be afraid of turning it over. And whatever happens, happens. At this point in time, there's nothing really to salvage. There's nothing really that you're going to go out and you're going to say, if you win the rest of your games, if you win the rest of the games, you're what, 7-5? I mean, I guess that would be an improvement. The odds of that are not very likely. And that may give you some momentum, but how are you going to win those games? You're not going to win it going into this. You're not going to win it going into this shell of who you are as a play caller. You're not going to go into it as in a shell of who you've, what's made you successful. And another thing is that the team, I feel like, is sort of emulating it, especially over the last two games. You could say throughout the season, but especially over the last two games, the team is sort of emulating the stress. The team is sort of emulating the concern, the lack of swag, the lack of, you know, killer instinct, the lack of being fearless. They're sort of emulating that, and I think that's got to change, and I'm hoping it does. It's really got to, because the product you've seen the last 2 weeks, if you continue to see that, then I could start seeing people, hey, I don't know that I want to be a part of this. I can see people wanting to be a part of reckless abandon and, hey, we're going to get better. We're going to go down swinging. But this whole protect the ball and go into a shell and basically go to revert back to last year's offense. I can see that being an issue for some guys. So we'll see what happens. I want to tackle a talking point here in just a second. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our boy, Ford Stokes. Just talked to Ford yesterday. He's reeling just like all of us, but he's still ready and eager to help you guys out with your retirement savings, whatever it may be. There's no reason not to give things a second look. Guarantee. Hey, here's one guarantee. I can 100% guarantee you that if you invest or you work with Ford Stokes, none of your money will go to Alabama's NIL. I think it's going to go right back into Auburn. So check him out. Show him some love. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Make a friend at the same time. Great guy. Tell him we're Eagle. Tell him we sent you. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. There's been a lot of folks, and I think there's a lot of credibility. There's a lot of legitimacy to this claim that we are a more talented, we have a more talented roster, but we're getting less results, and that is a problem. And I agree with that on the surface. I do think if you go position by position on a player level, and you look at this year versus last year, I think you could easily say that on a player level, you probably have more talent on this team than you did the year prior, but your record is not reflecting it. But I think what I'm starting to learn more is that it's way more about the team than it is the actual talent. And you can look at both sides of the ball and see which side of the ball has more people that are sort of those, I guess, those high school homegrown guys that are brought in, and which side is playing the most of those, and which side seems to be functioning more as a team. Now, you still have lapses, but if you look at both sides of the ball, your offensive side is still pretty heavy, with either A, holdovers or portal guys. And then your defensive side is a lot of high school talent that you've brought in. You look across the defensive line, you look across the secondary, and I'm just wondering if you can have those young guys continue to grow and continue to perform. Do we become a better team versus have more talent? That's sort of my hope moving forward. That's sort of, you know, probably the selling point that needs to be sold. I think you still have a large number percentage of this team is still transfer portal players. And this is not a knock on transfer portal guys in general, but you just can't build a team this way. And a lot of it's out of necessity. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses for why I'm not trying to like give anybody a pass, because what the product you're seeing is just rough. It's rough, and it's hard to say. It's hard to give an excuse or give a pass for any of it. What I'm trying to do is explain the reason, not the excuse. A reason. There's a big difference between the definition of reason and excuse. An excuse is it's not my fault and there's nothing I could do about it. A reason is this is why it's going wrong and this is what we're doing to fix it. Okay. And I think we have to really distinguish. We have to really distinguish the definition between those two. Do we feel like we're getting excuses, or do we see that we're getting the reasons why things are happening and then the things that are being put in place to fix it? A very good example. You had a lot of misses. You had a lot of misses in the portal over the first, I guess, two or three opportunities to bring in guys. Look at last fall. Now, honestly, not last fall, the fall right before Hugh was hired. The December right before Hugh was hired, you slammed a staff together. You had to finish out high school recruiting, and then you went into the portal and you had several misses. I think in the spring portal, you had several misses. You're like, okay, let's regroup. We've been here a year now. We're going to go back into the portal. And you had sort of the same luck where you had some guys that you went in after and you're like, man, we had a year to prepare. Our strategy was off. And we missed on some offensive tackles that we really wanted, some interior linemen that we really wanted. We got to do something here. Okay. We can't keep using this excuse where we're just young. We're new, only been here a year. Can't use this anymore. So what do? You go out and hire and put together an incredible, very, very highly thought of off the field GM. A player personnel GM and sort of build a staff around him. And then you go into the portal and you go get, you know, a playmaker, Keandre Lambert Smith. You go get a guy who can play multiple years, Kieran Crawford. Like there's Isaiah Rakes. You got a starting defensive tackle. You were kind of able to pick and, you know, get basically some of the guys that you wish the caliber you could have gotten the last two previous portal cycles. So you had a piece of adversity. What did you do? Did you make excuses and say it wasn't my fault? There's nothing I could do about it. No, you said, this is what happened. We sucked. I'm fixing it. And I think that has to be the theme about everything. This is the problem. This is what I'm doing to fix it. Not this is the problem and there's nothing I can do to fix it. I do feel like you're getting a lot more of the prior, not the latter. So again, you got to build the team. You got to build the team through the high school ranks. You're doing that well. Those guys you're hitting on, and it's hard to see that if you can keep that going, you know, if you can sign this 2025 class, you already have a really top 2026 class. If you can sort of keep that momentum going and you dig Auburn out of this hole of a roster that they've gotten themselves in over the last 3 or 4 years, coupled with your off the field staff that's, you know, a little bit more seasoned at being able to work the portal, I'm very anxious to see what happens off the field this season in the portal, like what directions Auburn goes in. If you can correct those things, you're showing that you have a weakness. You fix it. You don't make an excuse. You give the reason, and this is what you're doing to fix it, and then you go and fix it. And I think that's what the hope is, to try to get to more of a team versus just having talent. And we'll see how that plays out. And then the last thing I want to talk about, kicking update, Hugh talked about He did straight up say Alex was basically going to play. I think he told some people Alex was probably ready to play. He didn't say this in the press conference, but from what I understand, Alex was ready to go. He would have been the short yardage guy in this past game, and he had another flare up before the game, which is unfortunate. But I think the plan is if he can stay ready, he's going to be your 35, 30 yard and in guy kicking, field goal kicker moving forward. Still let Towns kick off. Towns is still an ultra talented guy, and I think we got to be patient with him. I mean, it's just all the situation around everything and everything that's going on with him. I want him to stay in it because I think he can be a really, really good kicker down the road. Again, he's just young, and I know he's ultra talented. And I know Alex didn't struggle as a young guy, but you know, it's not everybody, and he can still break through and be a really good player. So look for him to be sort of the long distance guy and Alex to be the short distance guy should Alex continue to remain healthy and be able to move forward. So again, the season is what it is. We got to hang in there. We got to hope for the best. I say it every show. I continue to say it. Maintaining this roster and maintaining this recruiting class is the most important thing. And yesterday, a lot of recruits came out in support of this team, in support of the staff. So we may dive into that a little bit tomorrow as well, maybe get a recruit on to talk about it throughout the rest of the week. Got a few that we've been chatting with, so we'll see what happens. But, guys, I really appreciate you hanging in there and listening. If you're a member of thebarnauburn.com, we really pull the curtain back and talk about a lot of the stuff going on in the locker room. Some of the younger guys, the frustration they're feeling with some of the older guys and, you know, coming in not really used to losing and having a hard time with seeing people being okay with losing. We've talked about all that as well as recruiting stuff. And we'll continue to do it, man, continue to have great conversations and build community. It's a lot of fun. So check us out at thebarnauburn.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be here every single week. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And we will chat again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.